Let's turn together this morning to Isaiah 43. If you are a guest or a visitor here and wondering what's going on, some of this began with a conversation around Georgetown, around how could we assist after Hurricane Harvey hit. And we had members of our congregation who are truck drivers who said, we've prayed about this, we've talked about this, we'd like to offer our time to drive a truck down to Houston, and if you fill it, we'll haul it, and you know, whoever turns down free shipping and handling. And what happened from there was the owner of the truck driving company said, I'm in on that too. And for 12 days, we put it out to this church, to the community, to activate the connections and to say, help us, help Georgetown. And we wondered if this trailer would be a quarter full or half full. And by the end of the 12 days, it was completely packed tight. And we had another 28 feet of goods that we did not know how we're going to get down to Houston. And after sharing that with the congregation, it wasn't more than 2 minutes later that someone during the offering said, I have the next truck. And so we've been filling that the last week or so. And I'm happy to report that another very highly packed truck, as of yesterday, was about 20 feet short of the end. And then we got another 225 rolls of insulation that were donated after that. So we are at a point where that second trailer probably has two, maybe three minivans worth of stuff. If you've ever packed a minivan, that's a lot, but with a trailer, that's not much. That's how much room we have left in this trailer. So thank you. Thank you for activating your relationships and having conversation about this. Keep telling the story of what God has done. We did not fill that trailer. God filled that trailer. And the second one. And it got to the point this past week where I was saying to God, enough already. I've learned my lesson to let you do this. It's been powerful. So this morning, as we get ready to read a text of Andy's choosing this morning, let's pray, and then I'll read it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for your spirit. And we are grateful for your promises that come to us, especially in our seasons of need. We suspect that your promises are there all of the time. But in our seasons of need, we find new readiness in ourselves and our world for making space for you. Lord, you fill up the whole earth, and so much of our time and our energy is spent in our world, in our experiences. And all we need is but a moment, and you have breakthroughs all around us to reveal yourself for who you really are. So correct our vision, correct our hearts, renew our spirits as we seek to hear you in new ways this morning, in words that are shared, in dialogue, in the stirring of your spirit that happens in mysterious ways. Hear us today because we are waiting. We love you, we trust you, we thank you, and we pray for a new word to fall on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear these words, Isaiah 43, the verses 1 through 3a. But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As Mark said, my name is Andy Seitzma, pastor at New Life Church down in Spring, Texas. We're just on the north side of Houston. He asked me to give a short introduction, and then I'll do a little meditation, and then we'll do a little Q&A about hurricane stuff. So I grew up in Japan as a missionary kid, so I have something in common with your pastor. We're both MKs. My parents are here, actually, with my sister. Do you want to just raise your hand, Mom and Dad? So, embarrass them, yeah. So, born there, grew up there, came back here for college and seminary, did Calvin College, Calvin Seminary. And actually, three of those years, we were in Zeeland, Michigan, at the Haven CRC. So, just down the road from you guys, Mark and I were in seminary together. We actually had a connection in Zeeland. Long story short, 20 years later, we're in Houston now. I'm a pastor there. And I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters at New Life Church and many of our surrounding churches and so forth. But maybe the most important thing you need to know is everybody in Houston loves you all in Michigan because you sent us Justin Verlander just in time for the World Series. So.
We're getting please.
So thank you for that. But on a more serious and heartfelt note, I wanted to come and just say thank you. Mark and I were talking, and he said, hey, if we fly you up, could we get a few minutes in front of your church? I said, absolutely. So a huge heartfelt thank you. So many families are being touched through you guys, so I want to say thank you. I also want to give a short update on what is happening. You may or may not know, you know, much about what's going on, but I want to give you an update. But also at the end to encourage you guys, because God is really doing an amazing thing through your church. And so I just wanted to bless that, celebrate that, and encourage you if I can do that. So let me get to the meditation first, and then we'll get to the Q&A. So let me start with bringing you back to the hurricane. So rewind the clock 8 weeks ago. And this is a historic event, you know, 500-year event. We get 50-plus inches of rain over a period of 4 to 5 days, and we're in day 3 of that hurricane. It's Sunday, and we've canceled church because of the storm, and because we couldn't go to church, my family and I were doing house church, and so we're singing together, praying together. We read a couple of scripture passages together, and this passage that you just heard, that Mark read, was one of the passages that really gripped us for obvious reasons. Verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not wash over you. You know, for the Israelites, hearing these words from Isaiah, they must have been hearing echoes of their forefathers, right? The Israelites coming up out of Egypt, and they got their back against the wall with the Red Sea. Egyptians are barreling down on them. God says, just be still, and you'll see my glory. So he parts the waters, and they pass through the Red Sea. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Fast forward 40 years, they're done wandering the desert, they're ready to enter the promised land finally, but they got to pass over another body of water, this Jordan River, this rushing river, and God commands the priest to step down into the river. So they do that, the waters part again. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And I was wondering if maybe the disciples during Jesus' time were hearing these words, and you know, they'd just been in the boat with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. The storm is tossing and turning them. They're all freaking out, but there is God himself in the boat with him, with Jesus, right? The waters will not wash over you. And so we've had plenty of opportunities in Houston to trust Jesus with this storm that has come. Mary Domite, she's one of our deacons. Mark and Al got to meet her. She kept saying all through the storm, keep your eyes above the storm, keep your eyes above the storm. Yes, the waters are raging and it's terrible, but let's look at what God is doing. And so we've learned all these lessons, you know, to trust God as we face these physical challenges, as we're growing and being stretched spiritually. And so for this very short meditation, I just wanted to kind of pull out two words of encouragement for you guys as you may be going through different storms in your life. You probably didn't go through a hurricane, but maybe there's a storm in your marriage, or your business is struggling, or something with finances, or whatever. But here are two words that really gripped me. And one is a word of reassurance, and one is a word of reminder. And so, verse 1, God says, do not fear. Do not fear. And he's reassuring us, right, of his presence. He reassured the Israelites, he reassured the disciples, he's reassuring you and I. For us in Houston, there were plenty of anxious moments where we needed that word of reassurance. And as those waters were rising, there were many families that didn't know if they were going to be flooded out or not. You know, do not fear. And we had plenty of families that had to evacuate to shelters. One of our elders and his wife, they had to be evacuated by boat. The stories go on and on. We had three families that were traveling out of state, and two of them were living in the same subdivision. There was a levee behind that subdivision, and we didn't know if that levee was going to break. And so the Army Corps of Engineers got helicopters, they're dumping sandbags on the levee to keep it from being compromised. If it would have been compromised, 10 foot of water would have gone through that subdivision. One of those families was our former youth pastor and his wife, a young couple. They took a call to a church in California. They're trying to sell their house. They're saying, please, Lord, don't let it flood. So plenty of anxious moments, but God says, don't fear. Maybe it was a home. Maybe it was a business. Maybe it's your school that was affected, but do not fear. A couple weeks ago, I preached at our sister church in Bear Creek, a Peace Community CRC. Mark and I got to see that church. That was probably the hardest hit of all of our CRC churches. And I preached there. We had a little Bible study afterwards. And one of the members of their church, she was affected. And she says, you know, that command, do not fear, if I'm not mistaken, appears in the Bible 365 times. One for every day of the year. God knows that we're going to be anxious, right? He knows that there's times when we're going to be shaking in our boots. But he reassures us. And he says, do not fear. So that was one word that really encouraged us. I hope it encourages you. The other word is this reminder, where God says, don't fear, for I have created you. I've redeemed you. I've summoned you and called you by name, and you are mine. And what Isaiah is doing here is reminding us of our identity, right? That we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. We belong to Jesus. One of my favorite verses is Galatians 2:20, for I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the body, I live by faith by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so this whole life we live as Christians, it's about living in the love of God, living into that love, being reminded day by day of whose we are, right? That God's got us. And during the storm, we had all kinds of families who were impacted spiritually in all kinds of ways. And some people were kind of coming back to faith. Some were growing in their faith. We had one of our deacons, Shelley, her coworker, heard the news that we were trying to help people, and she was affected, and she said, nah, you guys aren't really going to help. She was kind of skeptical. You're probably going to send used clothes or something. No, really, we want to help. We got resources. There's this church in Michigan, and they're sending refrigerators. Really? You do that? And she's not a believer, but you could tell that her heart was being softened to the gospel. And there's another couple, Mark and Jennifer, and their son Lee had been coming to our youth group for many years, but they didn't really go to church. They got hit. They were one of the first families that we helped to muck out and help, and they've been coming to church ever since. Like, they've got this renewal. God's reawakening them to this identity that is already theirs that they don't even know about yet. This identity in Christ. They're coming back to faith. And then there's folks in our church, and we're just being stretched, and we're growing spiritually in all kinds of ways. Jill, she's one of the members that got flooded out. She's still displaced, actually. And she said, right after the storm, she said, Andy, there's never been a time when I felt more close to God. And that week that we had to cancel church because of the hurricane, in the middle of the week, she said, could we do church on Friday? Because I missed church and worship, and I want to be with you all. So we did a Friday night prayer service, and that was her initiative. She's just been growing by leaps and bounds. And then, of course, dear Mary, right, our deacon, keep your eyes above the storm, and she's filling us with faith as we're all tired and, you know, we're growing and we're being stretched. And so all this is a reminder that God gives to us graciously, that, guys, no matter what your circumstance, no matter where you find yourself, remember that you're mine and that you belong to me. And what a wonderful word of encouragement and assurance, right? So that's the passage. And Mark said to keep it short, about 5 minutes. Is that 5 minutes?
At least.
At least? Yeah. Okay, all right. But maybe we'll preach in other ways through the Q&A. Is that?
I hope so.
Is that okay? All right.
So welcome.
Yeah.
I would love to know. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, mm-hmm. but how's this event changed you and changed the way you've thought about ministry in your congregation? Your congregation and community probably never imagined such a thing, and I imagine it has changed the way you do church.
Yeah, you're reversing the order of the questions on me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I'm all prepped and ready to go, and he throws me this curveball. It's probably the Verlander comment. Right?
You're right. So, look under your seats. They're World Series tickets.
Yeah, yeah. So how it's affected me. So you asked about like my call, right, and how I view the local church. And, you know, I've always known that it's not my church, it's God's church. I've always known, that God's the one working. And early on in ministry, one of my coaches, he just said, Andy, it's our job to come up with the best plan B. Let God come up with plan A. And so I've known that. But I think what this hurricane has done is really just made that come alive. Because we had all kinds of plans. You know, I had a whole sermon series lined up for the fall. Hurricane hit. Nope, there goes that, right? And we've had to adjust with our programming and just say, God, okay, we've been praying for revival and for you to work. And if you're going to send a hurricane to do that, okay, now we'll, you know, regroup. And so my sense of call is actually much stronger right now. And the importance of the gospel to proclaim that, to live that, to share that, to demonstrate that in word and deed. And then the role of the local church is just invaluable. I mean, if it wasn't for the churches, we'd be really hurting right now in Houston. So,
can you help us get an appreciation of the size and scope of this, the impact of this on the community or the communities you serve? We saw a few pictures, we've seen news reports, but we're not on the ground like you are. Can you help us with that a little bit?
Yeah, and it's really hard to see it if you haven't been there. So I'll help you imagine and picture that a little bit. So they say it's a historic 500-year event, you know, 50 inches of rain in 4 to 5 days. And it affected everybody. And everybody that I talked to, what I'm hearing is that about 1 in 10 people were affected. So 9 of us weren't affected. My home was fine. Our church was fine. But even if you weren't affected, you know a friend or a family member or a neighbor, you know, so we're all helping each other. Some had insurance, some didn't. The average cost per family is about $20,000 to $30,000 to muck out, rebuild, replace everything. So the role you guys are playing to help, you know, in a very significant way, replace mattresses and appliances, that's really huge for people. So that's really welcomed. Wind damage and flood damage. Whole communities have been wiped out, like not in Houston, but in the Gulf Coast region, Rockport. World Renew is down there. And that just got decimated by the wind damage of the hurricane because they're up by the eye of the storm. And I think 1 in 3 homes right now are habitable. Dickinson, which is just south of Houston, about 80 to 90% of those homes were flooded. And I was talking to a pastor this week. He's down in that area, and he said there's a mobile home section of that town, about 10,000 people, and it's just like a ghost town. Everybody's gone. And their church was going to go in and share the gospel and maybe do a church plant to help, but the people aren't there, you know? And so that's there. The total cost, $182 billion. So our government kicked in $15 billion in assistance. We're thankful for that, but everything's bigger in Texas, right, including the bill. So it hit, you know, everybody. It wasn't just one section of the city or the area. It was, you know, north, south, east, west, rich, poor, you know, folks with status, folks out of status with immigration. And so everybody's affected. And we're all just starting to, you know, get our heads above the water now and start to say, okay, most of that muck out section is done. We're going to get to the rebuild. One thing I can't communicate to you is the smell. And Mark and Al were there at Bear Creek area, and you could still smell it a little bit. But, you know, the first, you know, 2 weeks or so, we're just mucking out every day. And we did a lot. There was one day I went over to Peace Church, that area, and I had the masks on and the gloves and everything, but I couldn't stay there past 1 o'clock. The mold and the mildew smell was just so overwhelming, and I physically got sick. And So, and then there's people that just live with that, you know. So we're hurting in different ways, and there's health concerns and kids, and so it's really affecting people in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. And it's a long term. I mean, what you're speaking to, not only the scope of this, but the issues of mold and and clean out. It'll be years.
Yeah. So there's the hardness, right? The physical needs and the impact. But the other thing that you don't hear much about is the things that went well. And you hear that phrase all the time, Houston strong. The Astros have that on their uniforms, Houston strong. And we really were Houston strong. And the city, the state, the federal government officials all working together. Media was great. There was a sense of unity in the city that is exactly the opposite of what you see in our country, which is very polarized, very divisive across political, ideological, racial lines. We don't care. We're just trying to get people to safety, right, out of the floodwaters. And so the city was good. We say Houston strong. But I think even more than that, we also say we're Jesus strong, because the church really rose to the occasion. And almost every pastor I talk to, they all say this was the church's finest hour. Mm. And, you know, small churches, big churches, folks opening up their church to be shelters and deploying volunteers and partnering, you know, like we're doing, and just, you know, spreading God's love in all kinds of ways. And we get to live out the gospel. And so we praise God that, you know, that doesn't get reported all the time. But there's a little revival going on in Houston, and God sent us Harvey to do that. So, yeah.
Well, that dovetails well with my next question about Mary, your deacon, who is one of the most generous, welcoming people I've ever met, from Louisiana, I think.
Yeah.
She would greet everybody with a big hug. She opened her home for Al Karsten and I, and just incredibly generous. But one of the things she said at about 5 minutes to 6 on the morning we left over a cup of hot coffee was to say, you know, when I think about it, God gave us Harvey. And theologically, I had all sorts of issues with that and thinking about that. But she said that with immense credibility that made that so believable. Can you speak more about that? That idea of God gave us Harvey and what you're seeing on the ground in terms of people coming together?
Yeah. So a couple things. You're touching on that age-old question of why would all-powerful, all-loving God allow bad things to happen, right? I would phrase it maybe a little differently than she did. You know, God allowed Harvey to happen. But I think of, you know, theologically, I think of our doctrine of providence, where God's in charge, he's in control. And in our Heidelberg Catechism, question answer one, there's that phrase where it says, you know, he doesn't let one hair fall from our head, right, without the will of our Heavenly Father. And so God does allow this, but he's not surprised. He knows what's going on. Heidelberg Catechism, question answer 26, where it talks about providence. It says that God will provide, and this is the line, he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this sad world. So yes, he sent Harvey. He gave us Harvey. And it says he's able to do this because he's Almighty God. And he desires to do this because he's our loving Heavenly Father. And so we see God's hand in this. And yes, it's hard, and yes, it's difficult. But God's not surprised. And we're seeing him turn this into good in all kinds of ways that it's really hard to describe.
Can you speak to whatever needs you've seen awakened or receptivity in people, whether it's in your church or in your church community around helping initiatives? You gave a couple of examples, but is there more you can tell us about people being more ripe or ready for the gospel because of this?
Yeah, so we see both a lot of needs and a lot of opportunities, and those often go hand in hand. I tell people all the time, they ask me, how are you doing? I say, I'm tired and all that, but I feel like I have a front row seat into what God is doing. So I don't know how much those front row seats in the World Series cost, but we have a front row seat into God's World Series. And so the needs are massive. All the physical needs, obviously, with homes and, you know, replacing furniture and just getting people's lives back together. the financial implications. There's emotional needs. Marriages are under stress today. There's a lot of talk about, you know, how do we help kids who are displaced? Maybe they're still in school, but their school got wiped out, so they're in a different school. And legal issues, there's a lot of immigrants that were flooded out, but they don't have documentation, so they can't or won't apply for FEMA for fear of, you know, whatever. And then just the overall effect. There was one study that was done about church planters, and I'm a part of a church planting network, and right away they're all over that, because the study said that within 2 years, a lot of those church plants will shut down because of all the stress and so forth. And this week I was at a Christian Community Development Association conference, and there was a gal, she was from the Rockport area, and she said this was, what was her words? This was an extinction level event. And she's talking about, you know, smaller churches, small not-for-profits, which she's one of the leaders of that. She said, I don't know how we're going to survive. We got a check for $800-some from somebody, and she had tears in her eyes, you know, that because all the other relief's going to Houston. They're a small town, kind of overlooked, and World Renew's down there, so we're trying to hook them up together. But so that all, you know, we're in the middle of all that. And I think something that just popped up for me this past week that we weren't quite aware of, there's all this kind of, there's the immediate needs, then residual needs that happen later. And our preschool is one of our most effective ministries. We've got about 100 kiddos. A couple years ago, about 50% of those families were unchurched. So what a beautiful way to reach people for Christ. And teachers do an amazing job. But we've been struggling financially. We couldn't quite get our finger on it. And then we said, oh, so duh, we had a hurricane. And we figured out that there were 6 students that were enrolled that now were not enrolled. And so there's this lag with, you know, deficit, right? Monthly deficit. So $3,000 to $4,000 were in the hole every month, and we're like, are we gonna make payroll? And so honestly, that's the one thing that's keeping me up at night right now. Like, we talked about shutting down the school, we're like, we don't want to do that. So we're just praying for God to, you know, turn that around. But there's all those needs that are out there, but at the same time, tremendous openness. Mm-hmm. And all the pastors that we talked to, they say they've never seen more spiritual openness to the gospel than now. And we're seeing that a little bit in our community and with our church. But yeah, it's just people's hearts are open when there's a crisis like that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I have one more question for you. And I'd like to say, if you've been moved by God, or you've seen God's movement and want to share a word, a brief word, I want to invite you to make your move toward the front pew, and that might temper how long we talk about this last question, but I want to get us ready for that phase. Yeah. If there's anyone who wants to speak to that, yeah. It's wide open right there. So let's pretend that this is a conversation just between you and they're not there. Yeah. Right now. Yeah. As one of their very proud pastors of how this church has stepped up and engaged this in miraculous ways, this great church has engaged this in ways I can't even put words mm-hmm. to. Do you have one story of impact? We got to load the trailer, we got to send it down there, we got to see it unloaded, but we haven't been able to experience a life or a family, and I want to keep the limelight on God mm-hmm. in all of this, but I also want the church to know that they've made a difference. Do you have yeah. anything you could share with them?
Yeah, well, I mean, the couple, Mark and Jennifer, who've been coming back to church, I mean, yeah. yep. they were already open, I think, yeah. to the gospel,
yeah.
but now that they see it's not just there's a need and there's a God, but now there's people that care. And so they're one of the families that you guys are helping with, and I forget what's on the list, but appliances or beds or whatever. And you know, so you multiply that out by the 40 plus families that we're dealing with. And it's not just our church. Like, we have a couple church planters, Hispanic church planters, and they're all mostly under the radar, a lot of illegal immigrants in their church. So they can't, you know, go forward to get help. And hey, we got a church that's helping. And so one of those families has come forward, and they're just so grateful. And some of these families, I watch them when they pick up their beds or the appliances, you know, and they just have tears in their eyes, and the deacons are the ones coming alongside and helping them, but it's just really amazing. So thank you guys for, you know, being used by God to be his hands and feet, and you are making a difference in people. So,
yeah. Thank you for that. Anyone want to share anything? You can stay. We on? It is on. There you go, Lee.
Thank you for the opportunity to say thank you to Houston. The message this morning was do not fear. And I guess my family probably experienced fear back in 1978. We moved our family of six from Grand Rapids, where we were pretty comfortable, to Houston, Texas, to Spring, Texas. And I guess we knew fear. We had no family there, no friends. But what we did have was two pastors that went down in July. We got there in August. And one other family, Vanderkam family, his father was a minister. And we got together, started meeting in November. And I think that was our real time to come together as a family to paint signs for the church meeting in a school. I was starting a new business down there, a new construction equipment business, and the church was our real support, our strength. And we thank Spring, Texas. We thank the people there. We have some real brothers and sisters that we've known long term, and we're excited about what's happening to you now. We're excited to be a part of it, and we look forward to continued growth. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say thanks. That was the trip of my life. It was just absolutely mind-blowing how God continued to bless and take care of every detail of this whole thing. It's just amazing to meet the folks down in Houston and to see churches cross denominational lines and work with each other. Was just it just blew my mind. And I continue to think about this for weeks, and I'm just so thankful and grateful to be used in the way that we could help. And I just want to encourage everyone. Sometimes we sit in church and we see these opportunities and we think somebody else can take care of it. I call that when we're God's frozen chosen. We don't do anything. But when there's an opportunity to do it, and you have the capability to do it because the blessings are just amazing. So thank you once again very much.
I want to piggyback on what Dwight said, just real quick. Dwight, you were down there, right? You saw that. And in our church, we have a saying. We say, we're a small church, we've got a big God. And I feel like you guys have done that too. You know, we don't have much to offer, but hey, I'll come down and drive a truck. I'll come donate something. And it's all those little things that combine for something much bigger. And the second thing is just something I'm learning more every day too, but just to be open to the Holy Spirit. When Eric DeYoung emailed and said, hey, we got this idea, we're a church up in Michigan, and are you open? okay, let's talk, you know, and kind of one thing led to another. But the Holy Spirit will lead you and often throw you curveballs, but he's got that best plan, that plan A. And we encourage you guys, to continue to be open to God's moving in you personally and as a church collectively. Be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit that way.
There have been amazing gifts for us because of Harvey and this new relationship. Mm-hmm. A neighbor kid who hears about it and goes out and collects a lot of pop cans. Not as many as I thought, but a lot of pop cans. And hands us $157, and not a kid from this congregation. To have somebody from our church go to the post office and say, "Oh, yours is the church that's doing this." So there's been immense giftedness for us in finding new ways of connecting with people around us, and not doing that from a position of power. So often, the church has had an attitude of, "We have something that you don't have," and this project has allowed us to say, "We can't do this without your help. So help us." And that little nuance, I think, has made a huge difference in how we can be neighbors and have conversations with one another.
Yeah.
So before wrapping this up, any chance I'm going to get you? It's that or I'm going to bug you on Thanksgiving. I know. You want to take the mic to the back?
Well, I was privileged to go to Houston with Pastor Mark, and it was quite a whirlwind tour. We got down there and got the snapshot of the destruction. It's bad, and it's going to take a lot of work. But met a lot of really cool people down there. Mary was mentioned, and you talked to her for 5 minutes, and you know she's a special person. We stayed in her house overnight. I remember that morning when we were having that conversation, and I was saying to her that it kind of took me out of my box. I usually say no to these things. And she looked me in the eye and said, "So what did you learn?" And I said, "Well, it's kind of hard for me to admit, but I did learn that if you open your heart, open your mind, follow the Holy Spirit, yeah, you're going to be taken out of your box. And the rewards are very worth it." So met a lot of really cool people there, especially a guy named Mike, who I probably saw him fly over me in the Gulf of Tonkin, didn't know it. Things like that. And you hear really good stories about how his Church of Lucifer started down there, and those two people actually came to Christ. I don't know the time frames, but yeah, and they were baptized. You know, you get out and you hear these kind of things. So, of course, Mary was special. Really nice to meet you, Pastor Andy. So I just want to thank all of you for this support. Of course, the big praise goes to our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, who is leading the way. So just follow the Spirit. You'll be all right.
So I'm going to ask Andy to close in prayer. The song that we've chosen immediately following are the very words that we heard, the scripture words, and we're going to sing those together. But because a live Christian Reformed Church in town, in the area, has been receiving offerings for the last month for Andy's church, we get to share him with Alive and also another congregation tonight, so he's got a busy day in front of him. We're so glad that you've come. And would you close our this part in prayer?
Yeah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence with us today. We've heard your word, we felt your spirit. Lord, we're encouraged to be in community with you and each other. Lord, I'm so thankful for Georgetown, and it's good to reconnect with Mark and to meet so many new friends here. And Lord, we give you all the glory. Tuesday is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We're putting the spotlight back on the gospel, Lord, and we say it's for your glory alone, Lord. And so it's not about Houston Strong or Georgetown or any other church. It's Jesus, it's about you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that, as Al shared, that you would help us to be open to the ways you want to use us to bring glory to yourself and change lives for you, Jesus. So thank you for this time this morning. And we pray that we would leave encouraged and strengthened and stretched and challenged to seek you and your kingdom above all else. In Jesus' name, everyone said. Amen.